Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steamrolling right along. Officially Wednesday. The older you get, the faster it goes. So they say.
Ain't that the truth? The days are long, but the years are short, my friend.
Robert Frost, The Road Less Traveled. Welcome into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Feels like Christmas around here.
Yeah, all the trees are up and everything. I love it. It's great. Let's go.
Maybe that should be the poll question today. Is your tree up? Yes,
oh, ours
or no?
Is, yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah. The office trees are up. Is your tree up yet?
No.
Is your tree up, Matt?
Yep.
Mac? Yeah,
yep.
Good. You say no so disgustingly.
Yeah, he did.
Like,
no.
Like, why so disgusted about that?
Get in the spirit, Dusty.
Too early.
No, it's not. It's never too early.
We would be hypocrites if we said that November is slept on, Thanksgiving is a forgotten holiday, when we're putting trees, lights up, and listening to Santa Claus songs before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. Think it's wonderful. The weather was perfect over the last couple of days. Put your lights up now. It's going to be below freezing. Get in the holiday spirit, Scrooge McDuck. Good Lord.
Not Scrooge. Not Scrooge. Just have rules.
All right. You have your rules and we'll have fun, you know? How many trees do you have up, Mac?
Just the one.
Okay.
Just the one.
You
right
have
now.
A little one in
yeah.
your room?
You got to have a little one, right? I went by this church over here yesterday on Knoll. They have all the trees stacked up. They're getting ready to sell them and everything like that. So people are getting in that holiday spirit. Thanksgiving is so late this year, too. You know, it's the 28th of November this year, a week
my
from
best
tomorrow. So
he's still my best friend.
Well, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you can enjoy Thanksgiving and have your tree up and get in that festive mood and get that holiday
like
spirit.
Thanksgiving is your favorite holiday.
No, it is, but there's no decorations to put up for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
no, it sounds like you're just a miserable human being who doesn't want to celebrate Christmas early this year.
I do, but I want to respect my holidays.
Yeah, you can respect them all. Respect all the holidays.
Throw a cornucopia out on your island. That's a decoration for Thanksgiving.
I've got cornucopias all over the
pumpkins,
place, believe me. It
little leaf stickers on your door.
Yeah.
That's Thanksgiving theme.
Let's go. It's Christmas time. You do realize when Thanksgiving gets here, we're
Christmas
less
time.
Than a month away from Christmas.
And
I mean,
we can
are
go
less
ham.
Than a month away from Christmas. Do you leave your tree up till mid-January?
I take it down the day after New Year's.
The day after New Year's.
Wow, okay.
All right.
Because I'm always off. Or I take it down like New Year's Day night. Because
that's
like, all right, New Year. I have traditions.
Yeah, all right.
Everything goes up after Thanksgiving for Christmas. Everything goes down after New Year's Day, because if you do host the party, it's still kind of nice to see the leftovers of Christmas.
Oh, but it's nice to have a little jump start on Christmas if you're hosting Thanksgiving, too. Get people in the holiday spirit. Right, Mac? You're with me on this one. Texline, what do you think? Is it too early to put the decorations up? Because our entire block was putting them up over the weekend with the weather the way it was, you know, and taking advantage of not being out there in the freezing cold and the wires freezing, you know, when you're trying to put Christmas lights up. So I think everybody kind of put them out this weekend because it was like 60, and now today, like, it's supposed to start getting cold again, and I'm not a big fan of that.
I don't see how, like, I sound like a grouch. I just have a system.
Well, a lot of people have systems that don't work, too. You know, look at the Jets.
Dusty sounds like such a grouch. I live in a trash can. Could give Grinch a run. Why does he hate Christmas? At what point did I say I hate Christmas?
You didn't have to. It was definitely inferred.
We caught on, man.
Like, I respect the wood. I respect Thanksgiving.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, Friendsgiving. You guys have been invited to my event.
Mm-hmm.
Both are more than welcome. No Christmas music. It'll just be music. It'll be fun. And then after Thanksgiving, Boy, it's Santa Claus is coming to town once a day by Bruce Springsteen.
Boy, I've been singing the Christmas songs in the car all like for the last 2 weeks. You know, something just like all of a sudden clicked where I'm like, I need to get into the holiday spirit. And same. So, you know, I just needed to get, I think, out of reality for a while. You know, you get to the end of the year and you're just like, all right, it's time, man. Like, let's get to the holidays. Let's have some fun. Let's bring some joy into our lives. A lot of fighting and all this kind of stuff in the world and whatnot. So it's always good for me to hear a little Mariah Carey. All I want for Christmas is you, baby. And she's singing like right to me. You know, it's great. Mm-hmm. I love Elton John and Ed Sheeran's song that came out, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, too. It's kind of my new favorite Christmas song.
That is a good one.
I do like that a lot, so we can get into that today as well and play all those Christmas songs and enjoy the holiday spirit, man. Enjoy the holiday spirit.
Oh, I am. That Thanksgiving holiday spirit. Turkey.
Yes. I'm good. Yeah. You can enjoy both. It's okay. You can have two things. It's both.
Not when it comes to holidays. It is both. It is not less filling and
it's great definitely
taste.
Not less filling. There's
yeah, so
no
it's
question.
Definitely not both.
It's definitely not less filling, but nope. it's more filling and it all tastes great and it's all wonderful. Enjoy it. You do you, man. Like if you want to eat pineapple on pizza, who am I to tell you you're an idiot, you know?
But you will.
I will. Yep. But I'm going to let you do it.
That's right.
Let you have pineapple on your pizza all you want.
Yep. Pineapple on Thanksgiving, too, or Christmas when they put it on the honey-baked ham.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Pineapple belongs on ham. Give you a little sweetness to the ham.
Welcome to the dark side. Speaking of Christmas, this is called a transition in sports radio. CBS got their Christmas last week, didn't they?
Boy, did they. My God.
Massive, massive numbers for your Chiefs and your Bills game. 31.2 million viewers outside of Bob and Dusty's holiday, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Best NFL regular season game since CBS's Patriots-Colts Week 9, 2007, which pulled in, Bob, a $33.8 million.
Less stuff on TV back then, too.
Yeah. But remember those two teams and remember that year.
Yeah. That was a good year where the Patriots were undefeated that year, so if I'm not mistaken,
more
right?
Similarities.
Yeah, right.
Also, Ravens-Steelers helped CBS to its best regional window since 1992, a $19.8 million. So CBS rolling in the dough, like Scrooge Donald Duck dives into the gold coins. Mm-hmm. I've got it all day, boys. I'm sharp. I'm cooking, baby. But anyways, it reminds me because what if we, us nerds, I think we can kind of all classify as sports nerds. If we weren't, we wouldn't do this for a living. We'd do accounting or sales. God, Bob, you'd be great at sales.
Oh, I'd be fantastic.
I'm not trying to toot your own horn, but like, dude, trust me. Like, I can, my dad, grandparents, they were all salespeople. I feel it. The force is strong in this one.
The problem is I don't know how to ask for money.
Yeah. No. So you want to spend on this? Well, let's go buy this from me.
Right. So when I bring this up, we've been searching for a while for the next Manning and Brady.
Mm-hmm.
We've got it.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
there's no doubt about
it. Yeah.
There's too many similarities between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, right? If I were to ask you, you can have one of the other, Manning or Mahomes, you're like, well, it is both, right? You would take either one. Obviously, a lot of people be like, oh, give me Mahomes over Allen. Give me Mahomes over Allen. Give me out, you know, give me Brady over Manning. But the guy who gets the back end of the deal is like, oh, darn, I've got the other one. Awesome. I think those two are very similar. Manning in his first, you know, 6 years of his career, or I guess his first 4 or 5 years of his career, went 3-6 in the playoffs.
Because he had a terrible head coach.
And he lost his first two games in the playoffs of his career in the playoffs. Not in his career, but in his first two playoff career games. Maybe they were 99 and I think 2002 or something. Like either way.
So he made the playoffs his second year as a quarterback in the NFL after going like, what, 1-15 in that first year, 2-14 in that first year, bounced back in the playoffs. That's pretty impressive, actually.
Right. And Manning would get to the playoffs, and then he would lose to the GOAT, Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the narrative was, yeah, Peyton Manning's an MVP. Peyton Manning's really good, but can he beat Brady when it matters? Are we sure we're not just having the same conversation about Josh Allen? Yeah, Josh Allen's good. Josh Allen can, you know, play against Peyton or against Patrick Mahomes, but when he plays Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, when it matters, he doesn't win. Obviously, his record versus Mahomes in the playoffs is 0-3.
Yeah.
But in the regular season, he gets it done. And what do we always remember about Peyton and Tom in the regular season? Tom got his wins a lot. Tom had a good record against Peyton.
I felt like it went back and forth between those two guys. If I'm not mistaken, it was pretty close to 500 between those two.
And then in the playoffs, it was always Tom.
Right.
The always. One time that they lost to the Colts was when, for some reason, Belichick did this weird fake, went for it on fourth down where he lined up everybody on the left side of the field.
Oh, yeah.
It was a weird play. But either way.
Well, that's Manning has the winning record in the playoffs, though.
After the years went by, right? Because he got it with Denver. He got a couple with Denver, right? Right.
Over, yeah, I guess that's true.
So, yeah. But the start of the career is where we're at. So, longevity, I mean, Josh Allen and Peyton and Patrick Mahomes might be about 500 in the playoffs if they continue to be great and be the top two quarterbacks moving forward. But there was always other guys, too, with Manning and Peyton. Or Peyton and Brady.
Yeah, you had Roethlisberger mixed into the mix
right.
as well.
A guy we don't name kind of came along a little bit.
But totally different conference, you know.
Yeah. And then here's Allen, here's Mahomes. It is now officially, story's over, you've got it. It is your Brady and Manning moving forward.
And we'll see what happens in the playoffs. I mean, Josh Allen now, as we continue to talk about what's going to happen in the postseason, you know, I thought Aaron Judge was the guy who needed that postseason success more than anybody else. And I think now as the seasons move along and we saw Aaron Judge not have that postseason success, I think the baton now gets passed to Josh Allen. He's never going to be considered in that same category, in my opinion, with Patrick Mahomes until he does it in the playoffs. Because these regular season games are nice, but when it matters most, Patrick Mahomes is still the GOAT and still steps up and still beats Josh Allen in that postseason. We did see a lot of that. It felt like anyway with, and I could be totally wrong about the numbers, but it felt like we always saw Tom Brady dominate in the postseason over Peyton Manning. And that's because Tom Brady at the end of the day had a better duo with him. He had a better head coach than Peyton Manning did. And I know it's revisionist history, but going back in time and thinking, man, what Peyton Manning could have been if he was an Eagle with Andy Reid and what that dynasty would have been like. Andy may still be in Philadelphia coaching that football team.
Or he was in Pittsburgh.
Or somewhere else. Yeah.
Coward Tomlin, they would have won four or five more.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, but he had Tony Dungy, who was a terrible, horrible head coach. And so he pulled, Tony
who
Dungy
do you hate
across
more,
the finish
Dungy
line.
Dungy or the guy we don't name?
Yes. Yeah. The answer is yes. Dungy, because he dumped on Taylor Swift. And I think he's so ignorant for doing that because of what it created for my life and my daughters and my relationship and how that, spawned great things for us.
Yeah.
And Tony Dungy sitting there trying to poo poo the Taylor Swift effect because he's a football dork. He can
kick rocks with open toed sandals.
Exactly.
On.
Yeah. When he can step on Legos all morning.
Stub your toe.
And so the other guy in New York, whose name I almost mentioned, is he's ruined lives for a lot of people. As we're seeing by the minute.
And again,
we're
not comparing the talents of Allen and Manning and Brady and Mahomes.
No, it's just the rivalry
and the individual matchup.
It is. No, it is. And that's the matchup everybody wants to see, judging by the numbers. Yeah. Like I tell people all the time. With sports, like NBA ratings are down like 28% this year on ESPN, which is a huge number. But you give people an event that they want to see, like baseball had the World Series this year with the Dodgers and Yankees, one of the best World Series rated they ever had because people wanted to see the stars. They wanted to see those teams. You present people in sports with a great product and something that's awesome, like, Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning or Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. People are going to run to that. We want to see stuff like that. That's greatness on display. And then to have the lead in with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, too. Like, you couldn't have gotten a better Sunday for CBS. It's why Nance and Romo were taking the week off to smoke cigarettes because they're like, ooh, we're done. We had just an unbelievable time, this last week. We're taking this week off because nothing can top what we saw in Buffalo. Like, that was a playoff type number. That $33 million or $31 million. That's a playoff type number for the NFL. That's a huge, huge number in week 11 of the regular season. Amazing. But give people what they want. Give people great teams. Give people great quarterbacks. Give people star power games. And they're going to tune in and they're going to watch that kind of stuff.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, we are going to tote the line of giving this bar tab a lot of money. I trust us all to be patient. I'm Dusty Likens. This is Bob Fesco, Mac Moore. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Check it out on the poll question. We do it every Wednesday. Fesco and Dusty poll question this week. If you can't have KC barbecue, I know, Scrooge over here taking your Christmas and taking your barbecue.
I mean, what's next?
If you can't have Kansas City barbecue, which one would you rather have?
None.
Carolina barbecue?
Get out of here with that Carolina barbecue.
Or Texas barbecue?
Well, I'm going Texas Q every day of the week.
He likes the beef.
I do.
I like a good pulled pork Sammy with coleslaw and that vinaigrette barbecue.
That sounds good.
Yeah, solid.
That sounds good as well.
Yeah, hook me up with that.
Give me some Texas sausage. Luling in Texas has a place called Central Market, and they've got sausage down there that is to die for. It is some of the best sausage you will ever have. You cut it open and the grease kind of goes everywhere. Yeah. I mean, it's smoked. It's great. It's wonderful. So I'll take the Texas over the Carolina.
More underrated barbecue item, sausage or chicken?
Ooh, that is a good question. You're welcome. I'm going to say chicken.
Because, like, you never, like, when you go to a barbecue restaurant, you're always like, it's like, I guess if you were to rank them, you'd be like brisket, burn-ins, pulled pork. And then you're like, I mean, some people have, like, a huge opinion against pulled pork. Like, oh, it's trash. But, like, you're never really, at least in my opinion, actually working in a barbecue restaurant for, like, so many years. Chicken and sausage hardly ever got ordered, but anywhere I go, I always make sure I get like some sort of like smoked sausage with my meal, like Q39, smoke at bar, anywhere I get a side of sausage.
Yeah, the smoked half chicken at Smokehouse Barbecue is
money.
Phenomenal.
It's
unbelievable. And Josh, who runs the company, his mom, it's her favorite dish on the menu up there because it's so good. So you order this half chicken and you don't know what to expect, and you get it, and you're like, oh my God, this is just unbelievably awesome. And I like their smoked chicken breast too with the Cajun butter sauce on top of it. I mean, like chicken, I think chicken is underrated because I don't think people go into a barbecue restaurant thinking, you know what I'm gonna have today? Chicken. I think they think beef, they think pork, they think sausage, and then, oh, there's chicken on the menu. It's kind of like an afterthought for them. So I think chicken is definitely the most underrated one. If you're looking to save some money today, fellas, here I got something cool for you guys today. We're going to save money because Thanksgiving's coming up next week, and you're going to be doing a lot of errands. You want to save on gas. The surprise Santa deal at Hy-Vee is today only. If you spend $50 on groceries today, Hy-Vee will give you a 50-cent per gallon discount on gas. I love saving the gas points. I think mine is up to $1.64 I'm going to save when I go get gas today over at Hy-Vee. But it is today only, and go over to Hy-Vee, spend $50 on groceries, and they'll give you a 50-cent per gallon discount on gas. So get in there with that super secret Santa surprise deal at every Hy-Vee today.
Again, the reason the poll question is there is because the Chiefs play the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. So a little KCQ meets a little Carolina Q.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of other teams, the Jets, man. If you've ever wanted to know what the definition of a sports cancer is, or why it is important to have a leadership style of locker room, or why the Chiefs continue to win, I remember listening to Andy Reid's press conference for some reason. I was actually in my car headed to Hy-Vee, and it was on Cody and Gold. And he was asked the question of, you know, how do you get over this loss? How do you, you know, move forward with this? He's like, yeah, there's a lot of new guys, a lot of coaches, a lot of players. But he said this line, I trust my locker room.
Yep.
Right. And I know that sounds like minute and you're like, spare me. But 14-15 Royals, that locker room was tight. It was close. It was a tight niche group. Success was on the field. You look at what Buffalo said after the game with Amari Cooper. Hey, we're a team. We go out together. We play together. We live with each other. Like, we do this.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good team. The New York Jets fired Joe Brady, their GM, yesterday.
No.
Or not Joe Brady.
There is a Joe Brady somewhere. He's somebody.
No, I don't know
why. Did he get fired? He probably got fired,
too. Joe Brady's
OC in Buffalo.
He hasn't gotten fired
yet.
Joe Douglas. Fired yesterday.
Yeah. Gone.
Mm-hmm.
Another firing from an organization that the clear answer is on the wall. And that clear answer is Littlefinger, which is the name that I'm giving the guy that we cannot name. So if we cannot name him, we can name him something else.
Right.
And Lord Baelish, Peter Baelish, Littlefinger, however you want to call him, that is the comparison I give. He is a poison. He is playing his own game within a game. For those of you that don't understand Game of Thrones reference, that's what his character was. He persuaded, he lied, he manipulated to get his way, to stay relevant, to stay at the top, to be the guy.
Oh my God,
damn near brought down the entire four houses as one man by spreading lies and getting people to, by him being manipulating, was able to get other people to do things.
He's a manipulative narcissist is what
correct.
This
and
guy is.
And that is the definition of Peter Baelish, who's played by the same guy who plays Carcetti in The Wire.
Oh, okay.
That's why,
okay.
I asked.
That's why
you
asked him. Okay,
to, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So now
yeah.
you have a face.
All right.
So when I put this together and you see Joe Douglas get fired and you see Robert Saleh get fired, but yet things have gotten worse even with the departure of Robert Saleh, the answer is on the wall. The definition of a cancer in sports is what you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're doing, and that's what Littlefinger is at quarterback for the Jets. The problem lies there. That is obvious, right? Like, that is where everything seems to be bad. Zach Wilson, better record. Sam Darnold, better winning percentage. Third is Peter Baelish.
Right.
And there were rumors that Woody Johnson was thinking about benching.
Wanted to bench him in week four for Tyrod Taylor.
After and the coaching staff
said no.
Right.
You know, and they said, no, we're not doing that. So they fired the coach.
So then there's some sort of miscommunication. Peter Baelish walks up to the room of the owner and says, you know, honestly, I think the team's doing bad because the GM's not doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think so? Yeah, sure do. Okay. Joe Douglas fired yesterday.
Right. But that, to me, goes back to ownership. And I've said for a long time now, you cannot be a successful organization in sports if you have bad ownership. And Woody Johnson is a horse crap owner for the New York Jets. I mean, he has been behind the scenes meddling since he came back from England. Remember, he was gone for 4 years as the ambassador to England or something like that, right? And came back and got involved with this team again. And it's been absolutely a disaster. It's really been a disaster the entire time that he's owned the organization. But you look at teams that are habitually bad, and the Jets are in that category. They haven't won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl III, okay? We're at Super Bowl almost 60 now. And there's a reason why. Bad ownership, bad leadership. It all starts from the top. Look at the Chicago Bears. They're going to fire another head coach, go through another quarterback, and they continue to lose. They're losers because their owner's a loser. There's no other way to put it. You know, why didn't the Royals win for so long? Under David Glass, wasn't a good owner, right? What happened when Clark Hunt changed his ways and became a better owner? He hired the right people, got out of the way, let them do their jobs, and now look at what this organization is doing, both on a business side and on a football side. They're dominating the National Football League. Why are the Dallas Cowboys a bad franchise? Jerry Jones, he sucks. He's a bad owner. What happened with George Steinbrenner over those years with the Yankees? Bad owner. He got put away by the feds and told he couldn't be around baseball for a while. The Yankees got better. He got out of the way. He became a better owner, that team started winning. It's all about that ownership. It's all about your leadership at the top. And the leadership in New York with the Jets is awful. The leadership in Kansas City with Clark Hunt is unbelievably outstanding. Look what's going on right now with the Royals. Proof in the pudding, right? You got a great owner in John Sherman who's spending money and doing the right thing and trying to put a winner on the field and doing all this kind of stuff. And the team's winning. Success in sports starts with ownership. And the Jets will never be successful as long as Woodrow R. Johnson is still running that franchise. Same with the Chicago Bears. As long as that Halas family is in charge, they're going to suck. Same with Dallas. As long as Jerry Jones is in charge, they're going to suck. You can't overcome incompetence in leadership. And until these franchises realize that, they're going to continue to be ass.
No doubt. And I think that some people enjoy watching it burn.
Oh, it's fun right now at this point.
Like, I think it's a quote in The Dark Knight. The Joker looks at one of the guys and says, look what you can do with a little gasoline and gunpowder. And, you know, he finds the joy in watching people scramble and be confused in chaos. And that's what, you know, Lord Baelish is in New York. And this is one of those things that when I say sit back and watch it burn, the narcissistic side of this person is they will more than likely, at least in my opinion, try to do it again next year, which means you're going to see the same sort of season, same sort of drought.
How are you going to bring in a new GM and a new coach and say you're saddled with this guy for another year as your quarterback?
Because of your answer of Woodrow.
Okay, fair point.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
And that's, he's got daddy, dude.
Okay, let me ask you this then. If you're up for a job, are you taking that one? I'm not. Unless you're going to give me a 10-year contract like Gruden got with 100% guaranteed money when you fire me after year two, I still have 8 more years coming. That job, as long as that quarterback is there, is going to be a tough job to fill.
And the reason why I say that is because I think in Denver, when Sean Payton got the job, he's like, I'm going to do my best to try to fix this, but if I can't, then it ain't going to happen. And then they did the same thing that the Giants are doing with Daniel Jones,
right?
Benching someone who's not good, making sure they stay healthy so that they pass their physical so they don't have to pay the money.
Yeah.
That's what they did with Russell. They benched him, and there was a big story about that. Now you look at the success that Sean Payton's having. They got the cancer out of the locker room.
Right.
They're cancer-free. Denver looks a little bit better. He's able to coach a quarterback that's not egotistical, and Bo Nix looks okay.
Yeah.
For now. There's not tape out yet, but we'll get to that point when we get there. But the Jets will now be a franchise that will constantly be digging themselves out of this depth of a hole because of Littlefinger putting them in there. And I think deep down, he doesn't care. And when he doesn't
he
doesn't get his way or it's not successful for him, no one else should be that way as well. So he'll sit back and watch it burn. And I can guarantee you right now, as of today, the Giants will be a more successful New York franchise in the next 10 years than the New York Jets will.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right about that, because I you know, we were kind of talking yesterday after the show about like all the things that could potentially take place, and we'll get into Deion Sanders and what his like looming presence may mean moving forward, you know, for the NFL and whatnot. You know, the Giants, I think, will get better. The Giants have shown that they're a better franchise than the Jets. I mean, they've won 4 Super Bowls since the Jets have last won a Super Bowl. So it's not like, you know, the Giants have been this rudderless ship for a while. Now they are right now because they don't have a quarterback, right? Like Danny Jones is just not a good quarterback. And so I'd like to see what Daboll can do. I mean, people forget 2 years ago, Daboll did win a playoff game with Daniel Jones, right? Like that's wild to even think about. But they don't have a quarterback right now. So they've got to find one. They've got to move forward. And I think they're in a better position because I do believe they have better ownership than what Woody Johnson is right now, you know, in New York. And as long as he's involved, and long as he's in charge, and long as he's pushing buttons behind the scenes, how can you be a Jet fan? How can you get up in the morning and root for that football team?
I mean, that's what I said. I think that if something like this happens to my fandom,
yeah,
you're more than welcome to walk.
I mean, just think about
this
how
is going to
lucky,
ruin your team for a decade.
Yeah, but just think about how lucky we are to get Andy Reid here in Kansas City.
He's an anomaly,
right?
Though.
It is. That's right. What I'm saying. Like people think, oh, we'll just hire the new head coach and he'll come in and he'll change things. Who is that guy? That somebody, anybody, whether it be the Jets, the Giants, whoever's hiring a coach this offseason, who's that guy that's going to walk through the door that's going to be that Andy Reid guy that's going to turn your franchise around? That guy just doesn't exist anymore unless you come up with like a trade for John Harbaugh or somebody floated out of Mike Tomlin trade or, you know, something like that. Unless you can facilitate something like that, you're going to be hiring some neophyte that has never been a head coach before that's going to come in and see the quarterback and go, ooh, starstruck, and then try to deal with this stuff, and it's just not going to work. Like, we are so lucky that the stars aligned when they did for this organization to hit rock bottom and to have Andy Reid available to save and rejuvenate and put this organization on top to become the premier organization in sports. I don't know what other team in the NFL is going to have that opportunity in the next 10 years to hire a guy like Andy Reid that can turn it around.
I think a question that just went through my head is, who has more pressure to be successful early, head coaches or quarterbacks?
Head coaches.
Yeah, probably, I guess. Depends. Do they come in together? You know, it's
situational for sure.
I mean, I just think if you're going out and you're drafting a new quarterback, and this is my opinion, start over with everybody else too. Because let's say the Giants keep Ryan Daboll, right? Mm-hmm. I still think he's kind of on the hot seat at this point in time, depending on how the rest of the season goes. But let's say they keep Ryan Daboll, they allow him to draft a quarterback, it doesn't go well next year, then fans want the coach fired, then you're having quarterback in year two with head coach number two, offensive coordinator number two, you're already failing that quarterback.
No doubt. You think that's a hot take, Mac, that the Giants will be more successful for the next team?
No, not at all. I would
plus in the NFC where they have a chance to win that division every other year.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That NFC East changes every year. Every year it's somebody
20
different.
Years now.
Yeah, I would push back against the 10 years being bad thing just because we've seen franchises turn it around really quickly.
We're talking about
recently.
The Jets, though, just so
no,
you know.
No, I get it. Yeah. Well, the Commanders, right?
Yeah.
New owner. There it is again.
Very
another
key.
Owner got out of the
very
way.
Very key.
You know?
I mean, Broncos would be another one turning it around very quickly after making some really poor money decisions. That's one thing the Jets, I guess.
New ownership.
The one, yeah. No, but the one positive here is that they won't have $60 million for the next 2 years or whatever to Littlefinger. So.
Yeah. But I mean, look at the Raiders right now. Why can't they get out of their own way? They got
no
Lloyd
doubt.
Christmas sitting there in a sweatsuit.
No, I'm right with you. The Jets are screwed.
You know,
for eternity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Harbaugh saving the Chargers, by the way, of bad ownership because you know he's done a nice job out there. But that's very rare. It's very rare a coach can save a bad owner in the NFL.
So that'll do it. We can revisit that later. But very proud of you guys. No money to the bar tab. No money. So
any texters owe us anything or,
no, cause I guess we'll get the text sign in. No. They just said, there's a couple ARs on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are a couple and it's not Anthony Richardson.
No.
What do you guys want to see of Kelsey? Cause a blog, had reported that the expectation is to maybe scale it back on the workload. And I've heard Cody Tapp from 10 to 2 say in this game against Carolina, if it's 14-0, I don't want to see the rest of the team. I want to see him scale it back. maybe not verbatim that Cody said that, but I get what he's saying. Saying like, this is a team that if you're up 14 to nothing, the game should be over, which is why I tell people go out and golf, go hang your lights this Sunday. Perfect opportunity. Halftime, 26 to nothing. I don't need to see the rest of this game. Put on 96.5 The Fan and listen to it. But what do you expect, or what do you like to see? Just keep rolling, keep going, or kind of maybe?
Well, I mean, I didn't really expect to see much of Travis Kelce in the regular season this year. And then we had the injuries, and then he stepped up, and he needed to be that guy for, you know, 4 weeks to get the job done. So I hate to use the term load management because it makes me think of Joel Embiid, who's one of the worst athletes in the history of sports. You want to talk about Littlefinger ruining an organization in New York. What has Joel Embiid done to that 76ers team? That guy sucks. Man.
He just ran like halfway up the stairs the other night during the game and then just walked back on the court. I mean, he's not right.
You talk about a guy that just sucks, man. That guy sucks big time, man. Like, did you see his teammates are calling him out now and having meetings and saying, this guy's late to everything? Like, you want to talk about cancers in sports. Joel Embiid may be the biggest cancer this side of, you know, the quarterback in New York.
But I think he's doing that on purpose, whereas I think the other guy just thinks that he's being himself. Like, I think Embiid just wants out, so he's being the baby in the corner pouting to be like, all right, we just can't take him anymore. He's going to go somewhere else and watch him ball out.
Do you want to, like, who's going to take a chance on this guy knowing what he brings to
every
the table?
Every team in the
right?
NBA would take a chance
on sure they would, but that's stupid. I mean, it is. You're seeing how this guy's infesting a locker room and tearing down an organization.
That's how his agent will spin it.
Oh, of course.
His agent will be like, well, he wasn't happy. He was trying to force him way out. They were forcing him.
So if you're not happy at work, make life miserable for everybody around you who's done nothing but trying to earn a living, right? Like, these guys,
you
say what you want.
Guys like that.
Yeah. I know I have, and it sucks.
And they're not here very long, are they?
Right, and they're gone.
But then everything's better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no doubt. There's no question about that.
That's not a shot at you, Kling.
No, we're not talking about Josh. Not at all.
Come back.
Yeah.
But a lot of people want you to.
Yeah. could you imagine, like, these guys don't have much of a playing career in these professional sports, and you got guys like this running down the whole locker room. Like, Joel Embiid sucks hard, man. That guy's a bag.
I look at it as a lot like Randy Moss's tenured in Oakland. Like, Randy Moss in Oakland was just a boob. He hated it. He was getting fined. He was lazy. He didn't care. And then he goes to New England and sets records.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so he is still good.
But again, where was he playing?
And that's what I'm saying. He was in Oakland. Yeah. Doesn't like it. Philadelphia. Right? Kawhi Leonard's still responsible for, I think, the heartbreak that Joel Embiid has. But again, like, those guys moved on and they became the actual stars they were because they got what they wanted.
Right.
And they're in a system that worked, which the system works. They're just not happy.
So
with
you
it.
Get so the
Joel's
moral
gotten
of the story,
everything he's wanted.
I was going to say the moral of the story is try to burn everything down to get what you want.
Some people do that.
I know, but like Joel Embiid, screw you, pal. Like, seriously, like, you're ruining the lives of not just your teammates, but think about the people who have to go out and sell your team and market your team. And the people are making like 25, 30 grand a year behind the scenes. And you're doing all this kind of stuff and you're no interest in the team and whatnot. Right. Like, you're ruining people's lives. You're a jerk. I mean, there's just no other way
you're
to put
jerk.
It. Joel Embiid's
a jerk.
I know.
You know, he's a jerk. And so I wouldn't want a guy like that around. Now back to Travis Kelce.
Who's not a jerk. Who's a total team guy.
Exactly. Like, look, we've got two superstars here in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. And they raise everybody else up.
Correct.
You know, they're superstars that bring everybody else up. They try to raise the level of play of everybody around them. They're here for everybody else. Like, these guys are winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl. It's two of the biggest superstars on planet Earth right now.
That's right.
And look at the way they're doing it. And then you got the quarterback in New York, and you got Joel Embiid, who are out there, and all they care about are themselves. And how's that working out for you?
No doubt about it. Remember, the weekly poll question's up. If you can't have Kansas City barbecue, which one would you rather have, Carolina style or Texas style? Currently 128 votes in. It is a slam dunk. Texas leads 78.1 to 21.9. The reason, Chiefs are in Carolina at noon on Sunday, where they have the Carolina barbecue. Come on the other side. My guy, Deion Sanders, just a genius when it comes to playing the system. We'll talk about it next on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggins, Mac Morey with you. Went down the hall, talked to our friends, Ponch and Nikki. I'm in the minority. I asked a simple question. I said, is your Christmas tree already up? Ponch goes, yeah. I have had it up since November 1st.
Had it up since November 1st.
There you go, Ponch.
And then Nikki was like, you know what? It's been a blank year, so I wanted some joy in my life.
That's
so
where I
said,
am.
F it, and I just put everything up, and I feel great. And I was like, do you. And then their producer, Matt, he's normally a day after Thanksgiving guy, and he walked into his daughter's room, and they said there was a little pink Christmas tree in there, and she broke rank. So now it's up.
Yeah,
it's like, she wants it. We're doing it. Kids, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They'll change your mind quick.
Absolutely. My wife did a great job decorating, too. Really nice. Like, it's real nice. Looks great. Like, I like the Christmas tree up at night. You can turn the lights off and just kind of glows there. Yes. It's pretty. My neighbor's got a Santa in the window. My wife said, now, you know, that's been there 11 years. I'm just now noticing.
Yeah. The reason we bring this up is I walked into like a Christmas dream. I walked in. There's like a Santa in the sales hall. There's a giant Christmas tree in the lobby. There's a Christmas tree everywhere you turn.
Yeah.
And this building.
Joe got busy yesterday, didn't she?
Like an elf, you know, when he goes to the store at night and everyone comes like, what the hell? Who's here? Yeah, no, he just spends all night. That's what happened.
I like the Christmas tree in the bathroom myself. I thought that was a good look,
nice
too.
Touch.
Yes.
Very
nice.
You're not
nice
supposed
touch
to use it on the tree.
Oh, you're not?
No. Hike the leg in the urinal.
Oh, my bad.
And stay on target is what it tells us above our urinal.
That's well, you kind of have
grown
to.
Grown men need to be told how to pee.
Have you seen the top of the urinal about 8 o'clock in the morning? It's wet.
It's not for me.
I don't understand how somebody pees on top of the urinal, but whatever.
It's not for me.
Do you do that at your own home? I always ask that. Do you do this? Are you peeing on top of the toilet at your own home?
At night, I sit down.
You have to. I told you about my friend Tony who had like a thing going on in his brain. He collapsed at his head. I mean, like it's bad. They say you are supposed to. When you wake up at night and you're kind of like staggering around to pee, safety measures, you should sit. So I'm sure somebody's like, I don't sit to pee.
Well, then you're real men stand and piss.
Well, good. Then real men also hit their head on the porcelain and, you know,
die.
Well, yeah, where you're going. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, go to the hospital, too.
It's also cleaner to sit and pee. Just from videos I've seen on TikTok. Deion Sanders, right?
No. Deion Sanders.
I love some Deion. Deion Sanders' name has been getting quite popular, even though my take has now been stolen by a bunch of people at ESPN, and I am okay with that. Because at least
Did they credit you?
No.
Well, then you're not okay with it.
Well, I am, because it makes me think that if I'm talking about this in July, and they're talking about it in November, that it wasn't really an asinine take or something stupid. But if you've missed it...
Oh, you're using ESPN as your moral compass?
Yep. It's all about money. And if they're paying those guys for that, yeah, maybe one
point
day.
It's like when people used to say, you're Skip Bayless. I'm like, great, that's a compliment. He makes like $5 million a year. Hell yeah.
And Deion's name now has been linked in different sort of categories, right? There's, I'm going to make sure that my son goes to a successful team. I'm not mad about that.
No, not at all.
Okay,
coach. So what a dad does.
Coach, father. Plus people will be like, oh, it's so stupid. Well, you know what? Eli Manning did it.
Mm-hmm.
So pump the brakes. It's been done before. John Elway. He did it.
That's about it with the list.
Could have been a Royal.
So could Dan Marino.
Right.
The Royals were drafting better quarterbacks for a while more than the Chiefs.
Not a hot take. And Deion has been linked to that with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. And he's also been linked to, are the Cowboys just going to tank and will Jerry Jones open the checkbook like Clark Hunt did for Andy Reid and say, take over, we'll trade up, draft your son, we'll build a franchise around you. We think you could sell. Plus, Deion is that personality that would work in Dallas, right? Like, it's not.
But would he win in Dallas?
I don't know. But Deion was asked by a reporter the other day about his name coming up. His response was, well, amazing.
You're mentioned for everything that comes up these days, college, pro, whatever. Yeah. Is that just the
you
price of
talk
winning?
Like that with my AD in here? That's so disrespectful.
No, it's not.
You going to talk about me going somewhere with my AD in here? Yeah, he mentioned us with a lot of other stuff before we started winning, too, didn't he? That wasn't fair, was it? Price. That's the price of everything. Yeah.
Coach Prime, I'm keep going with that.
I'm happy where I am, man. I'm good. I got a kickstand down. You know what a kickstand is? A lot of people don't in there and not of age don't know what a kickstand is. That means I'm resting. I'm good. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic about where I am. I love it here. I truly do. Next question.
So Deion's going to Dallas. At least from what I hear. Now I know that USC just had a decommit at quarterback go to Colorado, and the picture they chose to do was this guy sitting in a throne chair with Shedeur handing him the keys. I get it. Deion's happy where he's at, but he also throws in the subtitle quote of, you know, there's a price for everything. Which means that, yes, he's happy and his kickstand is down in Colorado, but also means to me, at least when I hear that, that if the price is right, shout out Bob Barker and Drew Carey, that if the price is right, Deion will consider it. Jackson State, anyone who ever thought he was staying there was out of their mind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we knew that. That was right. obvious, right? Right? That's not the end-all be-all. Colorado happens, and you're like, ooh, Colorado, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Is that just the only team that would give him a chance? And the answer is most likely yes. Now, after a year of being in Colorado, they have started to win games. And I don't want to hear it about, oh, who they played, who they win. They're beating teams at a good rate.
They're winning in the Big 12 right now. Like, you know,
which is,
so,
you know, whatever, right? The Big 12, what? It's
but,
like the mid
it's your league. It's, right, yeah, you know.
And they're winning at a higher, they're winning by a large gap. And they're not losing to Arizona State and Houston. That's a dig. I apologize.
No, but Arizona State actually is pretty good now. They're a top 25 team.
No, they got beat by Kansas and got knocked out of the rankings.
Did they?
Are they in the rankings still?
I was just reading something this morning about one of their players needing a car and everybody at Arizona State stepping up and buying this dude a new car for like the 20th ranked Arizona State football
maybe
team.
Maybe they are still. I thought they were unranked as of last week at least. Maybe, I mean, they beat K-State at Manhattan, so maybe they're ranked now. But KU beat them when we were at the landing.
Mm-hmm.
And either way you want to look at it, I think Deion is perfect for college football. Like, my heart tells me that I want him to stay and to kind of rejuvenate the game because it's different and he's good for it because he makes it relevant and more entertaining, which is what NIL and transfer has done to college football. I think that's why you see some separation this year in the SEC. There's not just one team in the SEC that is just 14-0, clearly dominant. They're going to skip all the way through the SEC championship game, get the one seed, wait for the national championship. You're seeing some diversity in the SEC. At least maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm right. But Deion in college is great, but my mind tells me that he will eventually, if it's next year or the year after, get a blank check from somebody high up in a big organization and say, you succeed everywhere you go, why not try it in the pros?
Yeah, I think it's a mistake for Deion Sanders to go to the pros. I don't think his game translates to adults. I think he's great where he is right now with college kids. And you don't see college coaches go from college and have success in the NFL. Very rarely does it happen. Harbaugh's one, obviously, and Pete Carroll. Other than that, Nick Saban has failed. Urban Meyer has failed. Some of these great coaches have failed. I think Deion Sanders is in the perfect role as a college coach because he can have an impact on the lives of young people. When you get to become an adult and you become an NFL player, you've got adult problems, you're dealing with that, you're not paying the attention to your coach, Deion Sanders can have a huge impact with kids in college. And I think he is cut out for a college job. I think he's perfect for a college job. And I think if he goes to the pros, it's going to be a major disaster. And it's going to be one of these things where, like, at week 7, you're going, oh my God, we totally screwed up by hiring Deion Sanders. I just think he's a college coach and he should have success in college, stay at college, and continue to dominate at Colorado and go down as one of the great college coaches of all time. I just don't know that his kind of coaching, his shtick, his thing translates to coaching NFL players and coaching adult men. I think it works great with the college kid.
So I'll ask you two questions. Do you think Deion's next jump is to a bigger university or to the NFL?
I think it's probably to a bigger university, and by bigger, I would say like a Florida State. I don't know if that's bigger than Colorado, but it's his college,
for sure.
You know?
Oh, for sure.
Where it is right now, though?
It's,
I mean,
Florida
Colorado's
State.
Winning. Florida State last year lost their quarterback, yep, right, and have not recovered since. Bitched about the seeding and all that kind of stuff. Lost in Europe to, you know, Boston College or whoever it was. And we, like,
they
have not recovered from losing their quarterback and missing out on the college football playoff last year, right? And I know Colorado has not been anything special, but Deion has revived that program, right? Like, he
well,
has
imagine
revived
what he would do
that
Florida
program.
State. Exactly.
I think he would have some success
you'd
down
Deion,
there.
You have Deion, plus you'd have the track record of Florida State.
But like, I don't consider Florida State in the realm of like an Alabama, Ohio State, Oregon,
sure,
you know, one of those type of schools. I don't think Florida State's kind of been up and down since Bobby Bowden left Binkley, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And could he revive Florida State? Sure, he could absolutely revive Florida State. So if that's the jump that he takes – yes, that's going to a different college. I think he does something like that versus go to the pros. You go to the pros, man, it's just such a different breed of a person you're dealing with. You're dealing with an adult versus a child, you know, versus a kid that you can mold. And like, I think Deion's great at molding young kids, man. Look at the way they're buying in and they're living on every word that he says. In the NFL, you lose a couple of games, that stuff gets old fast.
But I also think that he's at the perfect age where he can have the young kids who are drafted and getting played more often in the NFL and also be in that same realm where, like, he's older than the older guys, but they still kind of know and respect who he is and who he was. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I just think the NFL is – I just don't think that's the right move for Deion Sanders. He's great as a college football coach. So, you know, like a Bill Self or a Mike Krzyzewski or Roy Williams, great as college coaches. I think Bill would be fine in the NBA. Coach K never would have survived in the NBA. Roy Williams wouldn't have survived in the NBA. But they're great college coaches, and sometimes – you know, you find your niche, and I think Deion's niche is you know, creating great young men, turning them into great football players, getting them their next job in the NFL. I think he's been marvelous at Colorado. He's created an interest in a sport for me that I absolutely love right now. Like, Deion's been an amazing hire at the University of Colorado, and he should realize that and understand, man, I'm having a huge impact on lives by doing this.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of a guy who had a huge impact on a bunch of guys on their team, he was screwed last night, in my opinion. We'll explain what that means here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.